When a windstorm strikes, the insurance companies call it an act of God. Is that merely a figure of speech? After all, God is love. Therefore, God would not kill and injure people with hurricanes and tornadoes. Yet, despite this seeming contradiction in our view of God's nature, we are now experiencing a remarkable increase in the frequency and the severity of windstorms of all kinds. Along with this increase in windstorms, we are seeing an increase in the frequency and severity of rainstorms and floods. To understand what is causing this wild, violent weather, we first have to understand the jet stream, which is the flow of air that constantly circles around the globe. The jet stream is a continuous loop of air swirling eastward, horizontally cycling the globe. Lately, there has emerged a mysterious force, swooping down from the northern hemisphere, periodically yanking the jet stream off of its smooth easterly course and causing the jet stream to repeatedly drop troughs of Canadian air masses southward across the northern hemisphere. On the map, the outline of these multiple troughs is shaped like the letter W across the United States. Frigid northern air is rapidly pulled southward to collide sharply and explosively into existing warm air masses. Within the vertex of two U-shaped troughs, warm air is sucked up from the south. It's like pouring cold water into a hot frying pan. The result is all sorts of bizarre and violent weather reactions. Lightning storms, torrential rainstorms with consequent flooding, windstorms, tornadoes, and hurricanes, temperatures swinging wildly from warm to cold and cold to warm in one day or less. What is the genesis of this mysterious force pushing down from the northern hemisphere, causing the jet stream to ripple south and north like the cracking of a bullwhip? Each week on this program, Planet X in Bible Prophecy, we will explore beyond the Earth's stratosphere to discover the cause of these perilous weather phenomena and the earth-shaking geological phenomena that accompanies these windstorms, lightning storms, rainstorms, and yo-yo-like temperature swings.
Winds cut through you like a knife in Detroit as you made your way home from work. You can just plan on hearing those winds tonight.
So windy conditions will develop in the Southern Sierra. They'll move down through the passes. Cajon Pass will be one of those windy areas. Out toward 29 Palms, you'll blow as well. Los Angeles down to San Diego again on the 5 tomorrow, all the way up through Oxnard. It should be very, very windy as we work our way through tomorrow. Let's look at our sky tracker. National Weather Service has issued high wind warnings for winds 30 to 55 miles an hour, and you can see all the counties here from Santa Barbara County all the way south to San Diego County. Many of these areas will see winds 30 to 55. Some gusts potentially in some of these canyons here will be up in the tune of about 50 to 70 miles an hour. United?
In some of the canyons, you could see those wind gusts well up into the 40 to 50 mile an hour range.
After a couple very warm days, look at today.
Degrees. It got up to 70 degrees yesterday, and there was
tomorrow. But keep in mind, this is the middle of February. In New York City, not because of the cold, but because of the wind.
We want to start off with all that rain that has been falling in the west, and we've had plenty of it. Let's show you some of the numbers now. Cogswell Dam, almost 2.5 inches of rain, and you can see the heavy amounts of rain all the way down to Beverly Hills, 1.75 inches for you, over 1.5 inches in L.A. Santa Monica now, close to an inch. Philadelphia, with flash flood watches in effect for the burn areas that were damaged so greatly earlier this fall. It was just awful. Back in October, plenty of raging fires there, and that causes damage even now with that heavy rain moving in. The flooding conditions coming into San Diego, where we do have rain continuing to spill in from the Pacific, now crossing the U.S. border and then heading into the central portion of the county, running into the mountains here too, and that's going to help squeeze out even that additional moisture. Watch out as the repeated rain continues to head up towards San Bernardino, runs into the San Bernardino Mountains, and that's where we're also seeing the threat for flooding. Well, we also have been noting a lot of wind. One area in particular has been in Philadelphia. Gusts have been very strong across your area yesterday. You've seen those winds high. It's bringing in some of the warmer temperatures, but still it's been blowing us around. Yesterday, winds in Philly up to 40 miles an hour. Atlantic City, also 40 mile an hour wind gusts. Windy too in Detroit and also New York City. Still gusty out toward the Hamptons. You've been seeing those winds over 30 miles an hour today.
Warm winds are snapping flags in Southern California. The Santa Anas are blowing again. That means drivers need to take care against the winds gusting through the passes and canyons. The gusty winds also mean you're at increased risk in the wildfire areas. And allergy sufferers, beware.
Yeah, we do have some windy conditions developing once again here today around the southwest. Calm winds at LA right now, but they're blowing in Ontario at a speed of about 28 miles an hour. That's the steady wind. We'll continue to see the winds whipping here in the morning hours, dying down a little bit probably in the afternoon, but look out, 20 to 30 mile an hour winds with a lot higher gusts than that. And the closer you are to the canyons and mountains, the windier it's going to be.
What a blizzard condition means is we are going to see the snow falling in addition to winds about 35 miles per hour or greater, reducing visibilities to about a quarter of a mile per.
And we've got the very strong winds gusting to 38 right now in Chicago. No wonder we have flight problems in and out of O'Hare. You may want to check ahead with your airline carrier if you're ticketed here. Also, we've got winds gusting 35 miles per hour in Indianapolis and gusting well over 40 miles an hour in parts of Missouri and central Illinois. Many in the south will spend this day cleaning up, unfortunately, after the severe storms we saw. In fact, strong winds really did a number on parts of Texas yesterday. Winds in Hood County were powerful enough to rock neon signs and literally just blow the hat right off your head. Bill tells us that that stormy trend will continue this week. He has your weekly planner.
And Kelly, thankfully, a lot of that wind energy is going northbound with our system. The bad news is, as you mentioned, it's very, very gusty right now in a lot of Illinois, for instance, Burlington, Iowa, Peoria, Illinois, gusting in that 45 to 55 mile per hour range.
West Santa Ana winds howling. This is Campo, California, near San Diego, where the Santa Ana winds are going to be felt today. They're gusting to about 36 miles per hour right now.
Yeah, well, all week we've been showing you just the wild weather around the Phoenix area this week. And with the streets flooding this morning, perhaps a helicopter is the best way to go.
Bruce Hafner is a helicopter pilot from KTVK and joins us from Phoenix now. Bruce, are there many roads that are closed this morning due to flooding?
Thanks a lot, and
well, we could be having
long out here in Scottsdale, Arizona. We've got Scottsdale Road and Pima Road, these roads north of town. In the more rural areas, a lot of water coming across the washes, coming down out of the washes, across the roadways. And we saw cars having to slow down and go through all these washes. And I don't know if you've got the video of the hail from last night. If you got that video going, because I can't really see it, but the hail from last night, look at this. This is something you never see in Arizona. You don't see what looks like the Midwest, a little bit of a dusting of snow in Arizona. You know, temperatures range here from anywhere from 50 to 120 degrees in Arizona. And this is the Sun City area out the west end of town. And last night we were flying around, showing a lot of cars going through the washes, or going through water going across the roadways, I should say, from the washes. And then all of a sudden it started hailing. So we went down there after the hail and got these shots. It's just unbelievable to see that kind of stuff, that kind of hail and that much accumulating on the ground.
Rest toward the east, we've got a warm front, and along that front we're seeing some strong thunderstorms, so we have our severe weather threat with the damaging winds, large hail a possibility as well, very heavy rain as well, so we have the flooding threat. In fact, flood watches are in effect for places like Kansas City and St. Louis and Springfield, Missouri. You saw a record amount of rainfall yesterday, picking up a couple of inches at least.
Northbound, watch out in Lubbock. Watch out, Plainview and Amarillo, it's all coming at you. As far as the Dalles goes, the Dalles area, that is, we've had some rain. It's going to get a little more nasty late today into about middle evening. May see some pretty violent weather. Stay at rest here. Upper 60s, warm and muggy and very windy all day in the Metroplex.
On this severe weather.
Well, so far we've had 7 tornado reports, some extreme wind reports, 91 mile per hour gust, and really long, sustained strong winds at Wichita Falls in Texas. So very dangerous situation. Damaging winds widespread. Some pretty strong tornadoes also. Roofs off of buildings at least, perhaps even worse.
We got some winds blowing you around, maybe blowing your mind around as well in Detroit. Windy yesterday.
Now, extremely heavy rain headed up through San Diego and up towards Palm Springs, where the flood warnings are in effect. Lower terrain, though, it's rain and flooding. Burn areas looking at huge problems. What's it mean for our friends here in Southern California?
Certainly another 2 or 3 hours of very heavy rain. There could be flooding problems, mudslides, especially in those burn areas from east of San Diego up toward 29 Palms and even San Bernardino. Let's take as bad as what we're seeing here. Rainfall rates up to an inch, 1.1 inch per hour. And that is well above the half inch or so per hour that could cause flooding.
Into Kansas, you're under wind advisories for today as your winds have been probably blowing around some of the trash cans across your lawn. It's been gusting up to 40 miles an hour here throughout the afternoon.
Severe. We're looking at a line of storms now quickly developing here in far west Texas. This line of storms could have a few severe ones in it with some hail and some high winds, maybe some damaging winds the next couple of hours. But
very gusty winds are what we're dealing with at this hour, so really be extra careful traveling through parts of Kansas on up into Nebraska. Winds are picking up at about 10 to 20 miles per hour in some areas, but those winds are gusting up to 30, even nearly 40 miles per hour at times, so really take it easy.
Ye who have forsaken the Lord our God, listen to his word.
We pay no heed to your God.
Be gone, trespasser.
You shall pay heed. For a day will come when the Lord Almighty will shake the heavens and the foundations of the earth. Every city will fall, every mountain will crumble, and your ungodly sanctuary will be laid waste before him.
The word of your God means nothing here. Ours are greater and much more powerful.
Music.
Such a shame to waste your music on stone ears.
Speak with reverence, or you will arouse the wrath of our gods.
Then call forth their presence, that I too may feel their power.
Oh, Baal! Answer us! Asherah, give us a sign! Show us your power!
Well, they don't answer. Perhaps they are asleep or on a journey.
Baal! Asherah! Baal!
Enough! Seek forgiveness from the Lord while there is still time.
Why should we seek forgiveness from your God? It appears he has abandoned you. Where's your God now?
You can destroy me, but never the truth of the words I speak.
Oh! Lord God of Abraham, let it be known that thou art here with me.
He's a fake!
As this graven idol lies before you, so shall the earth break into pieces before the Lord. When these things happen and the wrath of God has come, so you shall pass away, my words shall remain forever true.
The prophets foretold the future with astonishing clarity, their prophecies recorded and passed down through the centuries. Many spoke of an end time when man would be punished for his misdeeds by a series of natural disasters. That time has not yet come.
But much of what the prophets foretold has come to pass. Overlooking the city of Jerusalem is the Dome of the Rock Mosque, built on the site of the ancient Temple of Solomon. The prophet Isaiah warned that the temple would be destroyed and rebuilt. It was. Daniel prophesied that it would be destroyed a second time, and it was. The revered Wailing Wall is the only part of that temple still standing. There is a prophecy yet to be fulfilled, that of a third destruction on this site. It is written that the Dome of the Rock will fall in a powerful upheaval that will split the city and herald a wave of worldwide destruction. When will this occur? One man who thinks he has the answer is Chester Brooks, a church deacon who is an authority on Bible scripture. He is also a computer programmer.
Trying to understand Bible prophecy is a difficult job. You could literally spend thousands of hours tracking down references to prophesied events. I wanted to find a quicker way. So what I did was program my computer with every reference to natural catastrophes found in the Bible. Now I'm able to cross-check these references and their interpretations in a matter of seconds. For example, I could call up specific data as to the destruction of the Dome of the Rock Mosque. This will tell me every verse in the Old and New Testaments that refer to this event. There are 33 references to the Dome of the Rock destruction, and what I wanted to find out was when this was supposed to occur. The book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 11, has the most specific information. According to Daniel, the mosque will be destroyed 1,290 days after its dedication.
Now, scholars commonly interpret prophetic days as equal to our years. We know the mosque was dedicated in 692 AD, so by using simple arithmetic, we can ascertain that this destruction will occur in the near future.
If my interpretations are correct, and I believe they are, this will be the worst earthquake our world has ever experienced.
The biblical prophecies are frightening, and to some, difficult to take seriously. After all, we have never experienced a worldwide earthquake. But suppose the prophecies are true. What could trigger such an event?
Through a mystical vision, Mary believes she was chosen, not as a prophet, but rather as a messenger of prophetic warnings. And she was given a name, Summer Rain, by her mentor and guide, an 80-year-old Chippewa woman. This was the woman known as No Eyes.
No Eyes learned to see into the future and to forecast what was going to happen. No Eyes was the greatest visionary of our time.
No eyes saw the future in the form of a great phoenix, a bird that would rise from Mother Earth amidst terrible devastation.
When great phoenix come out of Earth Mother, her skin gonna tear bad.
You mean earthquakes?
Great storms come. They cover all towns. Summer and winter all mix up.
Floods, earthquakes, Mother Earth rising in revolt. Mary Summer Rain, through the teachings of No Eyes, foretells of a series of cataclysmic natural disasters to befall the Earth. Others share the same visions. Among them, a man from the northeast corner of America by the name of Gordon Michael Scallion. Scallion claims that he sees a time when all life may perish.
In 98 to 2001, the Earth becomes very quiet. The animals are quiet. Then a wind picked up from the east. It was hurricane velocity. I then watched the sun reverse its direction in the sky. The oceans themselves buckled, and land masses were thrust up. Can't even begin to tell you how many sleepless nights I've had, and the nights where I've just emotionally just totally lost it.
Scallion claims to live with a nightmare. Visions of cataclysmic earth changes that could wreak disaster by the year 2000.
I used to have to literally go and take a nap after I have one of these visions of 3 to 4 hours. And then there were times where I was in bed for 2 or 3 days. And that was a common thing throughout the 80s. Now what seems to happen is that when I'm at my word processor, I receive these visions.
Scallion claims his visions are all of cataclysmic disasters. Simultaneous tornadoes, earthquakes, hurricanes, and volcanic eruptions, all exploding across our planet in the years leading up to the millennium.
The disasters that I see occur in a sequence, and I'm given the warning signs of what the sequence would be. The kind of details that I see are the actual collapsing of the buildings, the people running in panic, the actual people. Watching the water actually come in and covering communities. I see cargo planes coming in with Red Cross symbols on the side.
If even a percentage of his visions came to pass, Scallion decided he could still help save lives. In 1991, he began publishing his prophecies of future disasters in The Earth Changes Report.
The newsletter is a way of communicating with the public some of the prophecies that Gordon sees for the future in the United States and the rest of the world.
When Hurricane Andrew occurred, a year ahead of time, I warned about it. And then even a month before, I knew the direction it would come, the wind velocity, where it would land, and I warned as many people as I could. Since 91, when I began publishing the Earth Changes Report, the predictions that were significant were that first that LA would have earthquakes on April of 92, followed by the June 28th Landers earthquake, the floods in the Midwest and the Mississippi, the eruptions of Mount Pinatubo.
Scallion and his wife transformed their home into the Matrix Institute, a 24-hour hotline access to Scallion's prophecies occurring or predicted to occur within any given month.
I created a map of the future United States. This was a map that was a consolidation of the visions that I was receiving, and it represented what the United States would look like between 1998 and 2001. So the new West Coast will be in the area of Nebraska, down through Boulder and Denver, through this area as the new West Coast. And California has become a series of islands. Here, the Mississippi has expanded, the Great Lakes have merged. Good portions of New Jersey go underwater. Some of the changes occur abruptly, some of the changes give us warning signs. The worst places is wherever you are when something like this explodes.
What he once considered a burden Scallion now calls a gift in disguise. Gordon Michael Scallion believes his prophecies will help mankind prepare for the future.
I believe prophecy is given predominantly for two reasons. One is it's given to help us prepare for what is going to happen, or it helps us to change what the outcome would be. And so the loss of life could be significant unless we heed the warnings.
Warning signs abound. A chorus of prophetic voices have predicted worldwide upheaval in the near future.
Biblical prophecies are frightening, and to some, difficult to take seriously. After all, we have never experienced a worldwide earthquake. But suppose the prophecies are true. What could trigger such an event? Perhaps the Anasazi had the answer. They and many other peoples had an almost religious obsession with the planets. They charted the heavens with uncanny accuracy. An accuracy that has only recently been surpassed. But why? Why would such a people, barely able to scratch a subsistence out of this harsh land, be so preoccupied with the planets? Did the Anasazi know something about the planets that we are only beginning to understand? This link between Jupiter, the other planets, and our Earth is just beginning to attract the attention of modern science, and for good reason. On Christmas Eve, 1982, we experienced a rare phenomenon. A conjunction of planets like those for which the Anasazi calculator was designed. Astronomers call it the Grand Alignment, and it is a subject of growing controversy and concern. There are a number of reputable scientists who believe this Grand Alignment could trigger worldwide devastation, ushering our planet into a 20-year era of cataclysm. Is this really possible? Could planets millions of miles away have such an effect on our Earth? For the answer, we must take a closer look at our planet itself. The Earth, hurtling through space at 1.3 million miles per hour, simultaneously rotating on its axis, and orbiting around the sun while our entire solar system speeds through the universe. The surface of the Earth is also in motion. The crust is divided into 12 huge sections called tectonic plates. These plates are constantly in motion, and they carry the continents with them. Their movement is far from peaceful. The plates butt against each other, bumping and grinding along. Their combined forces have caused entire mountain ranges to form. This is the scar left by two plates locked in eternal confrontation. San Andreas Fault. It extends for 600 miles, separating much of California from the rest of the United States. The Pacific Plate, carrying California on its back, is moving in a northwesterly direction, building up stress as it grips the North American Plate. From time to time, this stress becomes too great and the plates wrench free. This is what we call an earthquake. Its source is deep inside the Earth, where these plates float on the molten core. Rock so hot, it is turned to liquid. Plates usually creep along, their movement unnoticed at the surface. Suddenly, unpredictably, they could accelerate and lunge forward.
Such severe movement could cause earthquakes of unprecedented intensity. What influences the movement of these plates? We spoke to Dr. Jeffrey Goodman, a geologist, and author of the book, We Are the Earthquake Generation.
Abnormal movement of the tectonic plates seems to be related to changes in the Earth's rate of rotation. As the Earth goes about its daily rotation, there seems to be periods of time when it either speeds up or slows down. It's like the principle of inertia. You can be driving along in your car and then suddenly apply the brakes and everything is pitched forward. And the Earth's plates are like the passengers in the car as it rides on the Earth's surface.
But what causes these changes in the Earth's rotation? Dr. Stephen Plogman, co-author of The Jupiter Effect, has studied the effects of external forces on our planet.
In 1979, 800,000 people were killed in China in a disastrous earthquake. In 1980, Mount St. Helens erupted, devastated hundreds of square miles of land, and killed dozens of people. Both of these disasters occurred during times of solar maximum. Now, during this time, the sun spewed forth particles and radiation, which impinged upon the Earth and altered the normal weather patterns, and in turn accelerated and decelerated the Earth's rotation, and this in turn triggered earthquakes and violent volcanic activity.
Sunspots and solar flares, gigantic eruptions on the sun's surface that shower the Earth with charged particle radiation, adversely affecting our planet's climate, disrupting radio signals, and, as we are just beginning to learn, altering the Earth's rate of spin.
Recently, we have shown that the planets exert on the sun gravitational and inertial forces due to their rotation about the sun. Now, Jupiter follows an 11-year period around the sun. The solar activity follows an 11-year period around the sun. And at this moment, the planets like Saturn, Uranus, Neptune are in a grand alignment with Jupiter, which compounds this effect.
Christmas, 1982. Eight planets align on one side of the sun, coming together in their closest proximity in almost 200 years. We know that this will cause a severe increase in sunspots, and we know that sunspots can cause earthquakes.
How many, how severe? It's anybody's guess. All we know for certain is that no civilization on Earth has ever been so vulnerable.
The cities, massive cathedrals of concrete, glass, steel, and people. People packed as many as 10,000 per square mile. Man's cities may be monuments to his dominion over the earth, but they may also be the key to his demise. Tokyo, a city on an island. There is no more room to spread outward, so the city must spread upward. And the likelihood of disaster grows ever greater. 12 million people live and work here, even though the islands of Japan sit upon a geologic time bomb, the juncture of two massive crustal plates. When one of the plates gives, the entire country might sink. The last great quake here in 1923 left almost 100,000 dead, and the entire country's population was only 6/10 of what it is today. New York City. Contrary to popular belief, it is not built on solid rock. Seven faults slash through Manhattan. The largest cuts completely across the island at 14th Street. Cracks in walls, pipes, foundations. Clues that the earth is coming alive. Will the Grand Alignment trigger these faults into greater activity? 8 million people here are about to find out. Los Angeles. Perhaps the most vulnerable city of all. Sprawled across a plain riddled with faults and only a few miles west of the ominous San Andreas, this is truly a city on the brink of disaster.
Any day now, central to Southern California is going to be hit by a massive, horrendous earthquake.
Peter Franken was director of Advanced Projects Research Agency for the Pentagon.
If it should be centered near Los Angeles behind me here, it will take out that city. Now, what do we mean by take out? If it happens during a working day, it means 100,000 or more people promptly killed. It means a million or more dreadfully grotesque injuries, almost certain to result in death. It means uncontrollable fires, failure of electricity, subsequent spoilage of food, plague-like diseases, and we are in a country utterly inequipped at the present time to deal with a catastrophe of those proportions in any way, shape, or form.
And yet here, and in many other endangered cities, life goes on as usual, or at least seems to.
Over the next 20 years, basically, we are expecting that there will be an increase in the number of earthquakes that occur around the globe, as well as an increase in volcanic activity. And that will gradually...
Tim Wilhelm is a former Ohio school teacher who now heads the Stell Community's Office of Technology.
Also, along with seismic activity, we also are expecting probable changes in climate, as well as accompanying economic problems that would be worldwide.
But Stell is prepared. Its population is only 125, but it has its own water purification plant, a facility that uses corn, which they grow.
In studio, I have Clifford Connicum with me, our good friend who has so much incredible information for all of us. Clifford, how are you?
Good evening, Alex. Very well, and thanks for the chance to be here.
Yeah, well, I always enjoy having you. You always have a tremendous amount of information. Have you been watching the news and all the strange stuff going on?
I try to keep track of news quite a bit. I suspect much of the news would be referred to as the alternative media nowadays, though, in terms of the news that I track, because... Yeah. I think that that's really where most of the news is coming from now.
I think so, too. I was thinking more in the light of the tremendous earthquakes up in Alaska. I saw a picture of the fault line and how it opened up, and it was just unbelievable. For the full length of 140-some-odd miles long, this crack in the earth is...
I didn't see the pictures of it, but I was, following the reports, 100-plus
right.
100-plus earthquakes in 5 days. Yes, I would say very much a part of what I am trying to stay aware of are the activities of the Earth. I follow the sun, and really on a regular day, a part of the work that I'm doing involves tracking the sun behavior.
Yep, yep.
Yep. And that's a daily, in a sense, forecast that I'm involved with right now.
Very strange, isn't it? I'm not even sure. Michael Mandeville, of course, who comes on every Wednesday with us, has been keeping track of that too. And he says it's an anomaly, and I just have the feeling that I think it might go a little further than just an anomaly. I'm not sure what, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm very much watching the sun. You know, when we were on last time, I mentioned that that's one of the main things that I'm watching on this topic you'll have tonight.
Yep.
Is I'm watching the sun, and I'll tell you, carries on for another 4 or 5 months, then my interest just peaks up all the more because it's not calming down. I follow the sunspot activity, the solar wind, the proton density, and also the what's called the interplanetary magnetic field. I follow these on a regular basis, daily basis now, and it's really quite fascinating because for all those that expect it to be settling down as of now, 3 years ago,
right,
on a daily basis, this thing keeps picking up. It's blowing out the charts of historical values that are available. You know, I did some reading. There's a book called Storms from the Sun. This was written as recently as, I think, 2000, maybe even 2001. Mm. And the fellow is using a reference from 1998 as being one of the most extreme events that ever occurred, involving the sun that blew out the satellites that manage all of the pagers, NPR station, all that was down. Yep. He's using that as a frame of reference. I've already, seen his numbers exceeded.
Oh, we've got way beyond that.
Numerous times. Yep. This is one of the most contemporary books that there is on the subject. So one cannot deny the continued acceleration and increased activity of the sun. And, you know, when you had Jim McKenney on, I thought that was a very interesting show because I think he broadened the picture quite a bit to consider things beyond just an Earth point of view. The gravitational changes that I mentioned last time I was on, McKenney's work on the sun-planet interactions, electrical interactions. So, I don't think you can just ignore what's going on. The asteroids that we ran into.
That's right.
Three within 6 months.
That's right. And they didn't even know about it till after they passed.
Right.
Or two of them.
It's three within the moon is what it was.
Yeah.
You know, not there's, you know, a regular occurrence, but within 6 months.
Yep.
Of the moon. And not implying any kind of collision or alarmist attitude, but just the presence of that many bodies, so many close to Earth in that short a time.
And we didn't know about it ahead of time.
Yeah, the one was sort of humorous in the sense that, it was after the fact on its way out, right, in passing.
Yeah.
In passing. So, yeah, it's very interesting.
You know, as just off the top of your head, what do you think is the cause of all these tremendous anomalies that are going on?
I think if you try to see things in the bigger picture, that you have to consider it in that scope. In other words, I don't see it as likely being right now simply an Earth-confined affair. In other words, the forces that are at work would appear to be at a universal level at the very least, and a cosmic level more likely. And so in terms of what I think is going on, I see a combination of forces, even if you just deal on the physical plane, a combination of forces that extend beyond this planet that are creating a series of effects that many of us will attempt and choose to ignore for as long as possible. And others of us, I think our sense of heightened awareness will only increase in that we'll be watching for these signs. And, you know, perfectly, I'm fine if everything settles down. It would make our lives a lot easier if things would settle down. But, you know, it's not healthy to ignore.
Well, you can't stick your head in the sand.
Yeah. I mean, you can, unfortunately, but it's not usually very good for you.
Yeah, right, because it gets in your ears and then you can't hear. Yeah. Right.
So,
but it's true. I mean, there is something anomalous going on around us. Now, interesting that we're saying that, and tonight we're going to have Jason Martell on as our guest, and we're going to be talking about Planet X, Nibiru, and the possibility, more than just the possibility that this 10th planet is in our solar system, I think that we have reached kind of a conclusion that it's there, but we don't know when it's going to come back.
NASA discovered, and were very excited about having found this, what they term Planet X. X is a Roman numeral for the number 10, meaning the 10th planet in the universe. They were very excited to discover it on December 31st, the year 1983. But suddenly, the chief scientist of the infrared astronomical satellite system that sent this thing into deep space, and they sent back pictures of it, and they released it to six of the top daily newspapers around the world. Suddenly, the government came in, started putting a lid on all this information. But now we find out, just on the week of January 7th, the year 2002, that all of a sudden they're squashing all of this information and keeping it from the public. They said that it was an asteroid when finally they began to admit that it was there. But now in Newsweek magazine, they actually show it with a reflection, because now any astronomer on Earth can get a picture of it. And so the year 2002, January 7th, they finally admitted there is another planet, and it's heading toward the Earth, between the Earth and between the Sun. And it will displace the gravity of the Sun temporarily as it passes by, just as it did in the days of Peleg. Only the largest control telescopes that have been controlled by the government for years have seen Planet X, until I just mentioned they admitted that it is a real planet January 7th, 2002. But they began to see it in 2001. It was easy to cover it up until then, but then all of a sudden in the year 2001, small to mid-level observatories, such as the Lowell Observatory in Arizona, one in South America, one in Switzerland, began to see that there was something there, and it was moving. And according to their calculations, it was heading toward our solar system, because it had orbited out of our solar system. Occasionally, you would expect, with such an overwhelmingly important worldwide story, some of the details would be let out somewhere at some time. They have been. To be exact, it is our enemy since 1917 to 1919, international communism. The leaders of Russia have spilled the beans. Here's just one particular quote that came out over Reuters Press. That's like the AP and UPI Press here in America. This is the European Newswire Service. This was September 13th, the year 2000. I quote, "Anticipated chain of disasters due to hit in 2003. And then another one of the headlines was "Massive Population Shrinkage." They also wondered out loud, and it was recorded on microphone during one of their, what we would term in Britain, a parliamentary session, or in a congressional session in the United States. It's a Politburo session in Russia. They even wondered if their nation would even exist anymore at all. Government officials, you can be sure, can be trusted to protect none of us. They won't even release this information. They will not try to protect any of us, because they know they can't. But they started a mysterious building program underground in at least 129 underground facilities from one end of the country to the other has been completed. We always thought that it was in case of a nuclear weapon, but we found out that it's not. It's in case Planet X comes our way. We need to understand how and why and when the Earth's surface is going to change so abruptly, and it will fulfill in great detail every single item of the Bible, the scriptures that I'll show you. Some of this information came off the wire service of ABC News in the year 2000. Others of it came from BBC, talking about a planet beyond Pluto heading this way. There's absolutely nothing that anyone can do about it. They're actually talking that the population of this world could be reduced by 90%. Does that sound logical to anyone? Could it be? What if you saw a scripture right in the Bible where God Almighty said, yes, it's logical that it will happen? Why would it be so important to be sealed? Because if 90% of the population is going to die when this planet comes into this atmosphere or into our orbital structure and all the planet begins to shift, whole land masses sink, others rise, then wouldn't it be to our advantage to be sealed by the God of the universe for divine protection, to be kept as in secret? Notice what it says in Isaiah chapter 6. I'll start in verse 5 through verse 13. Then said I, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. This is Isaiah. He's not worthy to take this down, he says. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He saw it in a vision. That vision disturbed him. It didn't sit well with him. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. So now Isaiah is ready to give a prophecy, because God has cleansed him and counted him worthy to receive this message to deliver to us today. Verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. This is Israel, is supposed to be warned. Hear you indeed, but understand not. See you indeed, but perceive not. So you go tell them the message. Don't be worried whether they'll listen to you, whether they'll laugh you out of town. Don't worry. You just deliver this message for me. Verse 10, make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? How long are they going to be cut off spiritually? How long will they not understand the word? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. That might not just be nuclear war. That might be something else. Because let's read the next two verses. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return. Now, what is a tenth? 10%. So that means if 10% is left, 90% are gone. Where did they go? It does not say. It just said there would be this great forsaking of this land. Only a few hundred million people, probably, according to scientists and astronomers' projection, will be left alive on planet Earth. The key is, God is offering to every one of us to be Philadelphia. to be a part of that church of brotherly love, to lay aside all that would cause us to stumble before Him before the time. We need to be accounted worthy, because these events are going to be massive. No one that has lived in the last 3,600 years has experienced anything. And I will give you a scenario before I'm through as to what scientists and astronomers think that it will do to the Earth based upon what it did the last time this planet came by. The controllers of the media, I'm talking about the ones who are working for world government, who head up the money markets of the world, and the world's government leaders are very fully aware of what's about to happen. They're prepared. Keeping this story out of the major media was very important, because it will, when it reaches the people's understanding, it will collapse the world's economy. People will quit working and say, well, what's the use? We're all doomed anyway. The stock markets will crash. Real estate prices will plummet and go to the bottom. You won't be able to give away anything. It'll cost the economy billions and trillions of dollars, and then it will cost millions and billions of lives on planet Earth, if what these scientists and astronomers are saying is correct. And so far we've seen biblical scriptures which have said identically the same thing. In 1983, Planet X, or the 10th planet, was spotted by the infrared astronomical satellite that was put up by NASA. And then there's been a complete blackout ever since concerning this particular event. X is now so close that they can't cover it up anymore. That's why the Newsweek for December 7th, the year 2002, showed it and for the first time admitted that it was another planet.
I'm John DiNardo for Planet X in Bible Prophecy. Your help is needed to warn of disastrous windstorms and floods, catastrophic earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, which God is bringing upon the world in order to shock people to open their hearts to God, our Savior, Yahshua Jesus. Please write to me at Planet X, P.O. Box 422, Towaco, T-O-W-A-C-O, New Jersey, 07082. I would be happy to hear from you. Planet X, P.O. Box 422, Towaco, T as in Tom, O-W-A-C-O, New Jersey, 07082.